And the Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, as you probably know, healing has always been an essential element of the ministry of the Christian church. In fact, most institutions of healing, hospitals, have names like St. Luke's Medical Center. Almost all of them were started by faith communities, right? And that ministry of healing, where did it begin? With Jesus and his 31 accounts in the four Gospels of healings of different people, including these lepers in today's story. I bet a lot of you know some of those healing stories. What are some that you remember now, Jesus' healing stories? What's one? Just shout them out. The blind man, okay? Who else? Casting out demons. Pardon? Lazarus, yes, being raised to life. And you think about the hemorrhaging woman and the man by the pool, on and on. And the disciples, you know, were commissioned to carry on that ministry in Jesus' name after his death and resurrection, and they did. In fact, that tradition of healing is what drew a lot of people to the early church for the first 200 years. They knew that the church carried this power of healing from God. And we continue that tradition of healing here at Lord of Life, too, because we have several people, healing pastoral caregivers, who have been trained to do anointing for healing in hospitals, in homes, wherever, here at the church, wherever you'd like it. And in fact, in a couple weeks, you'll have a chance to be anointed for healing here right at Lord of Life during the communion service, if you'd like. So this is a powerful part of our ministry. It always has been. And where does that healing power come from? It certainly doesn't come from us, but from a deep, intimate connection with God like Jesus had, the source of all life and all healing. Like the psalm says on the backdrop of Wartburg Castle, this is where Luther hid out for a couple years, and he translated the Bible into common Greek so that everybody could read it. Up in that tower there is where he hid out. These words, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Not from myself." My help comes from where? The Lord, who made heaven and earth, huh? Yes, a living relationship with God is the source of all healing. This is the integrity, the wholeness of healing that we're talking about, integrity, and what would Jesus do? Being in alignment with the source of all life and healing, the power of God within. And whenever anyone is connected to that healing power, in alignment with that healing power, healing just does happen. We saw that all through the Gospels. We saw that with the disciples. We see that all over the world. And quick reminder, you know what? There's healing, isn't there, even when there isn't a cure for something. I'll tell you what, there was all sorts of healing, spiritual healing and family healing for my family, between my mother's anointing for healing by Pastor Barb in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, as we gathered around her hospital bed, and her death 4 months later. There was a heck of a lot of healing. When we're in alignment with God, healing just happens. And not only is there healing for persons and for relationships, there's healing in churches as well. when churches get a dis-ease, there's the power of healing whenever anyone is connected and aligned with the power of God, restoring health and well-being to that congregation. And among denominations as well, this long-term, centuries-old infighting, 500 years between the Lutherans and Catholics, right? With this phenomenal study we're sharing this year with St. Simon and Jude, what immense healing is going on just between our two congregations. And in Jesus' name, when there are people in alignment with that healing power of God, there's even healing for nations. When we were in Germany, many of us who are here this morning, our Reformation tour group, we were blown away by the incredible healing that's been happening all over Germany, in that country that has been through so much for the past 100 years. In Leipzig alone, the famous city of Johann Sebastian Bach, where he was a musician for the whole city, during the bombing of World War II, 80% of Leipzig was destroyed by that bombing. And only to be followed after that war by the 48-year occupation by communists in East Germany. We were privileged to go to a concert one night. This is the church, St. Nicholas Church, one of the places where Bach played. And at that point in the 80s, when some things were going on, the communists allowed the churches to operate if they didn't get political. But anybody who went to church regularly was watched by the Stasi, the secret service. And it was a scary time. Well, at one point, there were about 50 youth from Leipzig University who were protesting nuclear armaments, and they were getting chased, and they ran to St. Nicholas Church for refuge, which sort of worked for a little bit. But as a result of that, the pastor there, his name was Christian Führer, here he is, he started a prayer service to start praying for peace. And at first, it was like four or five women, kind of the altar guild of St. Nicholas Church, who gather on Monday nights to pray with him and sing and pray for the peace of Europe and to pray for peace that would bring justice and for all people, right? And over time, the prayer meeting grew. By the beginning of 1989, the sanctuary was looking like this, full of people. This is a picture literally from that time. And at a certain point, churches were starting to get filled all over East Germany with prayers. The word was spreading. They were praying for peace. Even atheists came hungering for peace. By October 9th, Monday, October 9th, right after the 40th anniversary of the German Democratic Republic, there were 8,000 people inside this building praying. There were a lot of resistance out there. There were 70,000 people in the streets. But these pastors at St. Nicholas Church had been teaching people about nonviolent, peaceful protest, and that night the Soviet troops were prepared for a major riot. So they had water cannons and guns. They were fortified with troops from all over Germany because of the fear of what was going to happen in Leipzig that night, and instead the pastors came out and led 70,000 people with candles and flowers praying and marching through the street and saying, "We are the people and no violence. We are the people, no violence." And the soldiers didn't have orders from Berlin fast enough, so they didn't know what to do, so they just stood and watched as these 70,000 people processed around the city praying for peace. By the end of the month, 300,000 people were marching on Monday night. By November 9th, this was happening all over East Germany, and in Berlin that night, November 9th, marches simply began tearing down the wall with no resistance from the soldiers. Not one person died in this peaceful revolution. Here are those folks marching that night, October 9th. By the way, here's what that church looks like today. It's been renovated. It's such a beautiful place. And this is a peace window that was given at the 20th anniversary of this peaceful revolution by the city of Houston, interestingly, to St. Thomas Kirche, which is another church that was involved in the peace movement right in Leipzig. It's this beautiful window that replaced one that had been broken out in World War II, a commemoration of peace without violence. Here's the reflecting pool, the peace monument outside of St. Nicholas Church today as we are standing there. And you can't see this, but in the cobblestones of the street, right around, all around the church, they've replaced some of the cobblestones with glass cobblestones so that light comes through them during the night as reminders of that holy night. Amazing, huh? And in 1993, when the Soviet troops finally left Luther's town of Wittenberg, where he was the parish priest for so many years, this is what an inner courtyard looked like that the Soviet soldiers had taken over for 40 years. They lived in here. This is a color picture, but notice how bleak it looks. It's almost like the land of Mordor in, you know, the Lord of the Rings, isn't it? Hardly anything growing. 2 weeks ago when we saw it, guess what it looked like? Transformation. Talk about healing, huh? Now, while things are certainly not perfect in Germany, the signs of healing and hope are apparent to us all over this eastern part of Germany. Yep. Healing in the name of Jesus Christ, the result of a commitment to prayer and to connection to the source of all life and healing. That's what this is. And it comes from even just one person making a decision to have this intimate connection with the healing power of God. The local Lutheran pastor, for instance, in this instance. And I had a great conversation with a local Lutheran pastor in Eisenach, who told me that some millennials are returning to the church in East Germany now because a couple reasons, he says. They seek to make sense of life in the East German area where communism so much destroyed that connection with faith for so many years. And so they're coming back willingly of their own, not just to hatch, match, patch, and dispatch like they do in so many parts of the world, but to have a living relationship with God because they're looking for meaning in life, and they're not finding it out there. And secondly, they're seeing the integrity of the church from the 80s forward of not only proclaiming Jesus, but practicing what they preach. And these days, this pastor talked about how the church in Germany, along with the government, is helping resettle Syrian refugees, and they're proclaiming the gospel to these refugees, and many of them are becoming Christians as a result. Well, this is hopeful for the entire world, including our own country, isn't it? Where people are so at odds with each other. Here we are, 4th of July weekend. What if we started doing prayer meetings for peace once a week? I wonder what difference that would make in our nation. So what can we do on a daily basis that will help promote healing for ourselves, for our families, for our church, our nation? Well, here's your takeaway challenge for this week. On your bulletin, you'll see some questions that I invite you to share over lunch today. But along with that, here's this. It's very simple. I'd invite you to do this. Here's what you can do. Pray. Pray daily. Pray in the morning. Pray at night to connect with God, the God of all healing, in the name of Jesus. Pray with your Bible, by the way, open. And you might want to just start with the Psalms. The Psalms are prayers, and so many of them are prayers for healing. Look at this one. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me, against the backdrop of the window where Luther was hiding out in Wartburg Castle. Or this. This is, by the way, the replacement church at Leipzig University, because the original one that was built in the 1300s was blown up by the communists in 1969. Just blown up. So this is the replacement church that's going to open on Reformation Sunday this year. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, their own self-destruction. Huh? And this is the Wittenberg Castle Church where Luther posted his 95 Theses, and I prayed for some of you who asked me to pray for you, and I actually lit a candle for all of us at Lord of Life and prayed for all of you at this church because God heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. And the evidence of God's power to heal, it's in, for instance, the Psalm of King David that's against the backdrop of that Wartburg Tower again. He obviously had a whole intimate experience of the healing power of God in his life many times, imperfect as he was. And join me in this. This is the basis. This is the evidence of God's healing power. Say it with me, if you would. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What did Jesus do about healing? He aligned himself with the power and love of God and let that power go to work, healing individuals, families, communities, and nations as God sees fit. And in the name of Jesus, you and I are invited to be part of that healing force in this world.